I certainly do appreciate your joining us today. What an honor. What a privilege. Thank you so much. I hope the program will prove to be beneficial. Our goals are to help educate, to help each one of us advocate, and to participate, whether it's in our church or in the body politic or in the community. We all need to be doing something constructive. And unfortunately, that's not a popular mantra with a lot of folks, and it's not somebody else's responsibility. We all need to be not only Christians, good Christians that go to church and support the church and our pastor, fundamental churches where the Bible is preached as it is to folks as they are, but secondly, we need to be vigilant and diligent. We need to recognize that not everybody's on the same page with us. And so sometimes the battle may get a little bit depressing, or you may think, is it worth it? But it is. We have a legacy that we're trying to do. I believe it was in the old Bible where it says the lines have been drawn, and I have a pleasant heritage. And so we do today. We have a nation that we want to preserve. We have a values that we want to advocate. You know, I just think that as a Christian, we need to take our place in the community and speak against those. You know, we can't just sit idly. We can't, we just can't sit on the seat of do nothing. We must be involved. We must know what's going on. And the best place for you to get the information that you need is for your church, especially if you have a pastor that preaches from the Word of God. You need to listen to him, because he is speaking truth if he's declaring the Bible. And so the pulpit, you know, Theodore Roosevelt once talked about the bully pulpit. The pulpit is where in the past men like that in the Black Robe Brigade, they spoke against what they believed to be encroachings up against them as citizens and so on. It's always been a fight. People have always had to stand up for decency and the right things. This is no different. And so I think you'll enjoy what we have for you right here today. Now, we wonder today, how do we get then in favor with God? What is the definition of sin? The Jewish laws, I believe, took 613 various laws. Then the Ten Commandments were given from God through Moses. Six of them dealt with man's relationship to man. Four deals with man's relationship to God. But have you ever thought, what is it that would make us sin in God's eyes? What is it? I think sometimes that if we're not careful, we will focus upon the committed things, the tangible things that we can put our fingers on. We put things into compartments. We talk about certain things and we say, well, maybe taking drugs or whatever is a rebellion against God. But the Bible tells me in the book of Galatians that envy is on the same line as murder. Sometimes we overlook those sins that are within us, the sins of jealousy, the sin of unforgiveness, the sin of trying to put everything above God. You see, there are folks today that are trying to work it out through their own efforts. Some think that church membership is paramount, or that it's equivalent to salvation. If we had scales, and I didn't have the time, but I wanted to have some balances up here and actually see what we could put on one side and how it would balance on the other side. How about doing good deeds? How about social clubs or fraternities? How about service to our country? The Bible lets me know here, as we think about it here, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do we ever hold any ill will in our body thinking? I was thinking the other day, I've got to confess it. There's a fellow, he's got a birthday coming up. I got to confess, I thought, I'm just going to put a like on his birthday. Hey, we don't communicate or whatever. And then it seemed like there was something on the inside said, no, you don't want to do that. You better put a like. My point is this. The Bible says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I will say this, and some of the brethren in our ranks may get upset with me for saying this. I think to some degree, listen, we have cheapened grace. Grace of God that leads you to salvation, I believe, makes changes in people's lives. I can't get away from the fact that if there is no change, I'm very concerned about the conversion. Now, it's God that'll judge people. But I think, and see if you agree with this, I'm going to give you a test. Do you think saved people have a desire to go to church? Do they have a desire to be good to their neighbor? Do they have a desire to contribute to the work of God? Do they have a desire to follow the Lord and His instructions to us? Do they have a love for the Bible? Somebody said if your Bible is falling apart, it probably means you aren't. On the other hand, if your Bible's got a half inch of dust on it, something may not be clicking there. I've said it before, I think there are certain people that believe that Nicodemus is a patch for stopping smoking. Somehow, if works would do the job, would Christ's needs have given his life? Angels do not need grace. That's why angels cannot sing the song of the redeemed. They are created beings. I want to tell you something else. Every angel that is mentioned is of the male gender. It's never a female angel. You can check the Bible for it. It's not there. See, we have a lot of things today that people advocate. They think it's all right for women to preach. How would I know? They think it's all right if you're saved and you don't speak in tongues, or you say you're saved, then you're not converted. There are all kinds of things out there, but we got to have faith. Faith in what? I believe this. Here's the bottom line for me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the definition of grace.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you'll enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Can't you see it everywhere? This old world's a rumbling. Can't you feel it in the air? Neighbor, tell your neighbor. Sing a happy song. It's time to get started on the way home. On the way home, on the way home. It's time to get started on the way home. Preacher, talk about it, sing it in your song. It's time to get started.
Everybody started on the way home.
Listen to the message, can't you hear the call? Jesus is the key to overcome it all. Tell it on the radio, talk it on the phone. Get everybody started, yeah, on the way home. On the way home, on the way home. It's time to get started on the way home. Preach, talk about it, sing it in your song. It's time to get started on the way home. Leaders, tell your soldiers to lay their guns down. Love is the victor. Can't you hear the sound? Jesus is coming from his mighty throne. Get everybody happy, happy, happy on the way home. On the way home, on the way home. It's time to get started on the way home. Preach, talk about it, sing it in your song. It's time to get started.
Everybody's
on the way home. It's time to get started.
Everybody's started
on the way home. It's time to get started.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen. Some time back, I was able to join Dr. Jim Scudder, Jr. out of the Quinton Road Baptist Church up in New Zurich, Illinois. He invited me to go to Pennsylvania with him, and there we did some taping at Independence Hall. We did some taping at Valley Forge, and then Washington's Crossing of the Delaware, Trenton, New Jersey, on December the 25th, and it went over until December the 26th of 1775. Having that opportunity, I wanted to share with you today a little clip that we did there about President Washington. And you know, the president was the only man that ever got unanimously selected. I'm sure he could have taken the title king, but that's why we had rebelled against the mother country, and we wanted to have our own government. People had come here, and after many generations, they no longer felt they were Englishmen. They felt like they were Americans, and they wanted to be free from the mother country. And so when the English Parliament passed the Intolerable Acts and started doing things like closing the port of Boston and putting a heavy tax on the tea and declaring many things, and they would try to have where the British troops could go into homes and search and so on. Well, the colonials had had enough, and so they took on the superpower. It was said at that time that the sun never sets on the British Empire. But we go to this clip today, and I think you'll enjoy what we were able to do there with Brother Jim Scudder.
George Washington, obviously very influential man. We usually think of him, though, as the general in the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And certainly without him, we wouldn't have a country, I think.
Right.
But he also was part of the Continental Congress.
Right.
The first one. So that would have been here in Philadelphia, just down the road.
Right.
And how did he serve in that capacity? I know he was a delegate from Virginia.
Right. Now, at that time, John Hancock presided. Later, when they went to the Constitutional Convention, and after the war was over, 8 years of fighting, and when Cornwallis surrendered there at Yorktown, then Washington presided over the Constitutional Convention.
Now, Washington, after the war, went back to Mount Vernon, and I think he was thinking, you know what, I'm just going to be back to running my plantation and relaxing and all of those things. But then they compelled him, to come back to the Continental Congress for the Constitution, and he said yes to that.
Right.
They elected him as the president of that Congress, so he was the one that was overseeing drafting the Constitution. Yeah. But then after all of that got done, he was happy to go back to Mount Vernon again.
Right. Well, you know, after the Constitutional Convention, we went through the Articles of Confederation. We had about seven people that served. You could say they were presidents before Washington, in one sense of the word, but they filled in kind of pro tem. The articles were very weak. You didn't have a strong executive. There was no power to tax, and the judiciary wasn't established. It was just a loose league of states, and they knew they needed something that had more grip on it, something that was more solid, and that's when they came back to do the Constitutional Convention. Some of the people that had been involved in the first Continental Congress, like Patrick Henry, he wouldn't attend that one. He said, "I smell a rat." Mm. He was afraid the federal government would get too much power. Mm-hmm. These people had served under George III, and they certainly didn't want to relinquish any power. So they were very reluctant about giving too much power to the federal government.
And I think that it did come up, I think, during the Constitutional Congress, where somebody suggested that Washington use the army to be the king.
Right.
And he was incensed by that.
Right. The only man that we know that was elected unanimously. And then, of course, much later in our history, Franklin Roosevelt was elected in 1936 with just 8 votes against him for Governor Alfred Landon of Kansas. But Washington was obviously the epitome of the strength of America. Fairly tall man for that day and time. He didn't have children, but he married a very prominent wife, Martha Custis, and she had a genealogy that went back to Richard Henry Lee and Robert E. Lee later, and so on. So he shared some grandchildren, but biologically, you know, he'd been a surveyor and done various things, accumulated quite a bit of land, which was not uncommon back then. But obviously, who was it said first in the hearts of our country, our countrymen? He had great honors.
They said, they called him the father of our country.
Right.
And isn't it a little ironic that you have a man that didn't have any biological children,
right?
Yet he's considered to be the father of our country. How close were we multiple times during the war, during the Revolutionary War, to not surviving as a nation, to being defeated by England?
There was one big thing, I think, Dr. Scudder, and I it's come to me several times. These people, the colonials, they were fighting for a way of life. They were fighting for their homeland. They were fighting for no taxation without representation. They wanted to be free. And that was such a great principle. It was such a great driving force to them. They pursued it like, I mean, you can't believe, well, you can believe with the authenticity of their desires. It's just like later during the Civil War, when people are fighting for their homelands, they're hard to beat.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we saw here.
So what I want to do is not only talk about George Washington, you know, helping us found our country and, you know, coming back to serve as the president.
Right.
But I also want to go and examine a very pivotal part in the Revolutionary War that happened about an hour drive from here. We're going to go to what's called Washington Crossing.
Delaware.
Yeah, the Delaware. And I want to revisit that whole night on Christmas night of George Washington crossing the Delaware. Of course, we know the famous painting. That's not necessarily all accurate. I want you to get your take on the painting. But, you know, to me, it all comes down to these moments in time. History could have changed. And we're so thankful for God giving us a man like George Washington that might not have been the greatest tactician, the greatest military mind, but he was a man of confidence and conviction, and people believed him and people followed him, and he got us through these dark, dark times of the Revolution. So let's head over to the Delaware River and tell that story.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Done our best today to try to provide you with a diversity of segues that hopefully might hold your attention and be educational. Our job is to communicate. We must be able to do that with some sense of clarity, with some purpose, with something in mind that we're trying to relate to you as the viewer. Hopefully you appreciate it. We're trying our best to speak against the wokeism that we're seeing in today's culture that wants to attack the Jewish state, people in groups like Hamas that can do all kinds of atrocious things like murdering babies and beheading people, raping women, and who knows the extent of the brutality. We have to stand for decency. That's why I stand with the nation of Israel. They are our best friend in the Middle East. They're a democracy, and also greater than any of those qualifiers. The Lord told us that he would bless those that would bless them and curse those that curse the nation of Israel. Israel is more than just a little piece of land today. The land that God promised them would be 10% larger than the state of Texas. So I hope that we'll stand together. Remember, you can go to our website, Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom, to get our book or to visit and see what's going on. It's been our pleasure to be with you, but until the next time, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.